Welcome to the Ortho Activist Podcast. I'm your host, Bradley Coffey, and I am the Manager of Government Affairs at the American Alliance of Orthopedic Executives. The episodes in this series will focus on the personalities in Congress, policy debates in the legislative and executive branches, and how they affect orthopedic practice management. The information contained in these podcasts comes from my interactions on Capitol Hill, as well as the newspapers, blogs, and websites covering healthcare policy. A quick note, if you have ideas for topics that you'd like covered on this podcast, please email AAOE's government affairs staff at advocacy@AAOE.net to provide suggestions.
To build a future of quality health care, we must trust patients and doctors to make medical decisions and empower them with better information and better options. We share a common goal, making health care more affordable and accessible for all Americans.
Now is the season for action. Now is when we must bring the best ideas of both parties together and show the American people that we can still do what we were sent here to do. Now is the time to deliver on healthcare.
Good afternoon, and welcome to this episode of the Ortho Activist Podcast. This week, I want to go over the 2019 Quality Payment Program proposed rule. Now, this proposed rule was included in with the physician fee schedule proposed rule that we discussed last week. This podcast will go over the Quality Payment Program, including the merit-based incentive payment system. Unlike in the physician fee schedule, there aren't any earth-shattering proposals included with this proposed rule. So let's just dive right in and talk about some of the changes that you can expect to see in 2019. One of the bigger changes will be that physical and occupational therapists will be required to report to MIPS in 2019. Now, CMS has proposed a specialty measure set for the quality category of 12 measures. Now, a little bit about the performance year. Now, these were actually fixed in the final rule for the 2018 final rule. The performance year that was actually set for quality and cost is a full calendar year. This is something that AAOE was opposed to last year and remains opposed to going into 2019, and we are disappointed to see CMS insisting on a full year of reporting data. For improvement activities and promoting interoperability, there is a minimum of 90 consecutive days up to a full calendar year. So practices and eligible clinicians have a little bit of flexibility here. They can report for at the very least 90 consecutive days, all the way up to a full calendar year of data to be judged on. For 2019, you will also see some new terminology used to describe the data submission mechanisms. The submission types for 2019 include direct, which is a computer-to-computer data upload. This would be similar to the EHR functionality. So reporting e-clinical quality measures and a couple of other methods. This is predominantly used for quality measures and promoting interoperability, which we will get to in just a few minutes. The second is login and upload, which allows users to upload and submit data with a set of authenticated credentials. This would be similar to registries, QCDRs, such as AAOE's data warehouse, and others. The third is login and attest. This allows users to manually attest that certain measures and activities were performed in the form and manner specified by CMS with a set of authenticated credentials. Fourth would be Medicare Part B claims. These would be administrative claims. This is a bigger deal with the cost category, but there are also some quality measures that can be submitted using Medicare Part B claims. And then the last is the CMS web interface. This is only applicable to groups of 25 physicians or more. There is a proposal in this proposed rule to expand this to include physician sizes between 16 and 24 clinicians. But this is something that CMS is asking for information. And I wouldn't say that there's a guaranteed possibility that they would implement this for 2019. So let's talk a little bit about the performance categories and some of the changes that you can expect to see. So for quality, this year in 2019, the proposed weight towards the final score would be 45%. One of the more interesting proposals that CMS is requesting comments on is the implementation of a system which would provide a particular value to quality measures. So this would be a tiering structure where you have sort of gold, silver, and bronze tiers within the quality category, and then measures would fall within one of those tiers, and they would be valued according to where they fall in those tiers. So a high priority outcome measure would find itself in the gold tier. A medium priority measure, some patient safety measures would fall in that silver tier, and some of the lower priority simple process measures would fall in the bronze tier. Now, CMS would use these, not in 2019, but in future years, and we'll get to why in just a second, in order to assign an overall point value to the clinician for performing these particular measures. Now, the reason that this is important is currently CMS requires a specific number of measures be reported each year. Even in 2019, the requirement is 6 measures, including one outcome. And if an outcome measure is not available, then a high priority measure. What CMS is interested in doing is actually changing this to no longer require a minimum of 6 measures, but to require a minimum point value in which you need to achieve in order to be successful in the category. So this would advance that mission and get people out of just reporting 6 quality measures and then into reporting measures that CMS believes are high value and important to determining the quality of care that a physician or clinician provides. Again, this is for future rulemaking and will not impact the 2019 performance period, but it is an interesting direction for the program. Now let's talk a little bit about the orthopedic specialty measure set for the quality category. About 9 of the 35 measures in the orthopedic specialty measure set would find themselves in this lowest value tier that CMS is proposing. So it is possible that based on CMS's outlined tiering structure, orthopedists and other musculoskeletal physicians would come out reporting fewer measures. However, we do feel that CMS would need to provide additional information for us to determine what the expected impact on our members would be. In this quality measure set for orthopedic providers, there are some new measures that are being proposed. I would encourage you to take a look at that measure list in the proposed rule, which we have on the AAOE website, and go ahead and plot out how your practice may be preparing to report to MIPS for the 2019 year. Now, on to the cost category. The proposed weight towards the final score is 15%. CMS will be adding 8 episode-based cost measures for the 2019 performance period. One of these measures is a knee arthroplasty measure. These measures would be in addition to the Medicare spending per beneficiary and total per capita cost measures that were in use in 2018. These measures would remain calculated via administrative claims, or as CMS has now termed them, Part B claims, Medicare Part B claims, so there is not a separate reporting requirement. Under the improvement activities, there aren't any major changes to this category, just some changes to the timelines on how specialty societies like AAOE and even individual clinicians can submit improvement activities for consideration and inclusion in future rulemaking. Now, the proposed weight towards the final score for the improvement activities category is 15%. Under the proposals that have been included in this particular category, CMS would remove the small practice bonus for the improvement activities category, as well as the bonus for reporting one of the improvement activities via certified electronic health records technology. Now let's talk about the former advancing care information category. CMS has conducted a broad sweeping marketing campaign as well as a rulemaking campaign to refocus this category, not just in the MIPS program, but also in the Medicare Meaningful Use Program, as well as the Medicaid Meaningful Use Program. This category is now being changed to reflect CMS's intentions to increase the interoperability of electronic health records and make them easier for clinicians to use, transfer episodes of care, and just all around supporting the work of the clinician rather than extending the amount of time a clinician is sitting at their computer entering information. So the name of this category has actually been changed to Promoting Interoperability. And this category probably has the most dramatic changes in this year's proposed rule. CMS proposes to completely change the scoring methodology for 2019 for a simpler and easier to understand performance category. Now, this isn't just CMS's talking points saying that this is simpler and easier to understand. Having read through the proposed rule, I do find it much more intuitive and much simpler to actually understand how a clinician is going to be judged and determined to having met the requirements of this category. So the proposed weight of the promoting interoperability category to the final score in 2019 will be 25%. Now it's important to understand that 2015 edition certified electronic health records technology will be required for the 2019 performance year. If you are currently using 2014 edition cert, you will need to upgrade to the 2015 edition, provided this requirement is finalized in November. So let's talk a little bit about the new proposed scoring methodology. It will actually consist of four objectives: e-prescribing, health information exchange, provider-to-patient exchange, and clinical data exchange. Now, I want to talk a little bit about each of these objectives. For e-prescribing, the objective would be worth 10 points, and 10 bonus points are available for 2019. Clinicians would report on the e-prescribing measure from 2018, where at least one permissible prescription is written by the clinician and transmitted electronically using certified electronic health records technology. This measure would be worth 10 points. And then clinicians would have the opportunity to report on up to two additional opioid-related measures. This would be query of a prescription drug monitoring program and verify opioid treatment agreement for 5 bonus points each. Starting with the 2020 performance year, these measures would become required, but exclusions would apply. So if you do not have the ability to query a prescription drug monitoring program or to verify opioid treatment agreements, those exclusions would apply to the clinicians within your practice. Now let's talk about the health information objective. Within this objective, there would be two measures in this category for a total of 40 possible points. Support electronic referral loops by sending health information, and support electronic referral loops by receiving and incorporating health information. The first measure that I mentioned may be familiar to you, as it is the former Send a Summary of Care measure. The second measure is a brand new measure intended to encourage completing the referral loop by incorporating patient data into the provider's own electronic health records. The provider-to-patient exchange objective is likely the most changed of all the objectives that I have discussed so far. What was once two objectives, patient electronic access and coordination of care through patient engagement, and 5 measures, has been reduced to just one objective and one measure: provide patients electronic access to their health information. This measure will be familiar to you as it is the former patient access measure from 2018 and requires the provider to provide patient with timely access to view, download, and transmit his or her health information. Providers will no longer be scored on whether the patient actually does any of this. And then the clinical data exchange objective is the least changed objective and has five measures, two of which are required unless an exclusion applies, for a total of 10 points towards your final score. These measures include immunization registry reporting, syndromic surveillance reporting, electronic case reporting, public health registry reporting, and clinical data registry reporting. Just as there were in 2018, exclusions do apply for these those providers that are not able to report to these registries. Also a little bit different under this proposed rule, CMS did remove the many bonus opportunities that were available in this category, in part because 2015 edition certified electronic health records technology will be required, but also because CMS does not believe that reporting improvement activities via CERT promotes the agency's goal of promoting interoperability. So now we've talked about the objectives of the promoting care or promoting interoperability category. Now let's move on to the actual MIPS adjustment factor for the 2019 performance period. You may remember that the MIPS adjustment factor is the percentage which CMS will calculate how much of a bonus providers receive or how much of a penalty providers receive. The MIPS adjustment factor for the 2019 performance period is 7%, meaning that you could get a positive payment adjustment of up to 7% of your Medicare Part B services or a negative payment adjustment of up to 7% of your Medicare Part B services. The performance threshold, which is important in determining what payment adjustment you actually receive, is, like I said, is the threshold you must meet or exceed to receive a positive or neutral payment adjustment for 2019 and is proposed at 30 points. Expect this to more than double for the 2022 performance year, which CMS will discuss in future rulemaking. CMS indicated that there wasn't enough data available for them to determine what the 2022 payment adjustment, which is the which would be for the payment year 2024. There's not enough data available for them to determine how that threshold will increase, but they are estimating that that will be more than double. So I believe it's about 64 points. They give a range. So if you were hoping to receive a bonus for exceptional performance, you can. However, your clinicians will need to score at least 80 points or more for the 2019 performance year. Now, the Quality Payment Program is not just the merit-based incentive payment system. There are also the various opportunities for alternative payment models, whether it's a MIPS APM, an advanced APM, an other payer advanced APM. There's lots of different kinds of APMs that can actually get providers out of performing in the MIPS category or MIPS program. However, much of the APM requirements will stay the same or similar to the 2018 performance year, so I won't talk too much about those. I do want to talk a little bit about one of the requests for information in this proposal that actually deals with a way to try and push more providers into the APM category and out of MIPS. Now, this has always been a stated goal of CMS, is to push providers out of the MIPS program and into the APM track of the Quality Payment Program. The Medicare Advantage Qualifying Payment Arrangement Incentive Demonstration would allow providers participating in Medicare Advantage plans that require the clinician to assume at least 30% of marginal risk to be eligible for this demonstration. So if your clinician accepts Medicare Advantage and these plans require the acceptance of downside risk, you could get out of reporting to MIPS. This demonstration model would be eligible for the 2019 performance year and may even be eligible for the 2018 performance year, and it aligns with the administration's goal of not only pushing more providers into the APM track of the QPP, but also pushing more patients into the Medicare Advantage program, which we've seen evidence of in changes to the Medicare Beneficiary Manual, as well as a couple of other programs and services that Medicare has been releasing that really emphasizes the importance of Medicare Advantage, also known as Medicare Part C, to the overall Medicare program. So this is all for our episode this week. I hope that this has illuminated some of the proposals that were in CMS's proposed rule for the 2019 Quality Payment Program. If you have any questions, please don't hesitate to email me at advocacy@aaoe.net. And always check out the Quality Payment Program Resource Center on the AAOE website at aaoe.net/QPP.